If you've got your Bibles. Wow. Can you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5? We're going to read some verses from there because I'm going to read these verses and bring out a prophetic word that the Lord gave me as I was driving to Michigan. I had a word, and it's one word that's just been going around in my spirit for the last week. So this morning, I'm not coming with just a nice word. I'm coming with the word of the Lord. As soon as I touched the ground on the U.S., I saw a map of Michigan, and the Lord said this to me. He said, it's breakthrough. He said, it's breakthrough for Michigan. And every time as I've drove up to this state, I keep on hearing this word again and again and again. And it's the word breakthrough. Break in, break out, breakthrough. There's a breaker's anointing in this place. There might be obstacles in your life today, but when the supernatural power of God moves on your life, moves on circumstances, it always results in breakthrough. Let's just pray before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the revelation that he gives us. We thank you that this morning that it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. And even though we know it's by the Spirit, we need the word because the Spirit and the word work together. And we pray this day, Lord, that you will be gracious to us. We ask for what you want to do. We ask you to be merciful to us. We pray that the eyes of our understanding might be opened, that we would hear from the youngest to the oldest what the Spirit of God is saying to this church today, is saying to this body here today. We thank you, Lord, that your word in season is worth more than anything else in our lives. So we expect to hear your word, and we expect it to be manifested in these days in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they all went up to find him, but he heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rechem. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will surely deliver them into your hand." And David came to Baal-perazim, and he smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the bursting out of great waters." So he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, Lord of Breaking Through. There the Philistines left their images, and David and his men took them away, or one version says this, recovered all. You know, when we read this story, when we look at it today, we see a great victory for David. But also in that victory and in this passage, we see a name that God reveals himself as, which is as real for David thousands of years ago as it is for us today. And that name is Lord of the Breakthrough. That name is Lord of Breaking Through. That was a covenant name of Jehovah to his people. And when you speak about a name of God, it represents who God is, but it also represents what God does on behalf of his covenant people. We are talking about a name that God covenantally gives towards his people. He is bound by covenant towards those who say that they believe in the name of God and follow him. And he says that his name here is Breakthrough. It's interesting, you know, that when you look at the Hebrew word here for breakthrough, it's not just breakthrough, it is breakthroughs. It's not singular. It's plural. Which shows again and again in these chapters, just like God brought through breakthrough for David, not just once, but twice in these few chapters, it shows that God will do it again and again and again in your life and in my life. Our God this morning is a breakthrough God. He's a God who can part Red Seas. He's a God who can demolish walls of Jericho. He's a God who can raise the dead. He's a God who can give sight to the blind. He's a God, if you give him a few loaves and a few fishes, he can take those loaves, he can take those fishes, he can multiply them. He doesn't bring addition, he brings multiplication and meet the needs of thousands. And what he did then, he's willing to do today. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now, I declare that it's a season of breakthrough. Doesn't matter if you're sick in your body, I declare it's a season of breakthrough. Doesn't matter if you've been waiting for years for a promise to come to pass and a dream to be birthed, I declare right now by the Spirit of God, it's a season of breakthrough. Doesn't matter this morning whether you feel like your life is a failure. There is no failure with God. Failure is not final. God says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that he's got plans for you. Plans to prosper you. And give you a hope. And give you a future. Doesn't matter if you've lost everything. God is a God who can turn around devastation into restoration. He is a breakthrough God. Doesn't matter what wall it is. Doesn't matter what obstacle it is. Doesn't matter if the enemy's coming in like a flood. The Bible says that the Lord will still raise up a standard.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if you feel like one chapter has ended. God brings breakthrough to start a new chapter of writing about his goodness and his grace in your life. I believe that there's a season of breakthrough. Breaking in upon your life. This day and in this season. I'm telling you, we are transitioning right now into a new season of supernatural breakthrough. Get ready for it. It's going to come suddenly. It's going to come unexpectedly. We've just got to believe that we're going to receive and God do what only God can do, which according to Ephesians chapter 3 is more than you can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power which is at work within you. That's breakthrough. The enemy might come to subtract. The enemy might come to divide things from your life. But God comes to multiply and bring addition and meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I feel that there's a breaker's anointing in this house this morning. I believe in even speaking the word of the Lord, something is happening. Demonic powers are retreating. Angels are advancing. I see it in the spirit realm right now. I'm seeing things. I'm getting glimpses right now about what's going on in the spiritual realm. And if it's going on in the spiritual realm, it's going to invade the natural realm and change your life and your season forever. Breakthrough! Breakthrough now in Jesus' name. For some of you, your breakthrough is overdue. And I believe God says it's time to call it in. It's time to press that download button. It's time to go to heaven's ATM and say, I'm making a withdrawal. In Jesus' name. I'm saying, devil, I'm taking my stuff back in Jesus' name. I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to be a wimp in spiritual things. I'm going to stand up on the inside. I'm going to release the giant that is within me. And I'm going to call and command those things that aren't as though they were in Jesus' name. Breakthrough. I'd like to give you some thoughts about breakthrough this morning, which will hopefully help you from this passage. Number one, you and I might be in a battle. We certainly have an enemy. But praise God, through Christ, we can overcome and see the victory. 2 Samuel 5, verse 17, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they all went up to find him. But he heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Just like David had an enemy, you and I have an enemy. You've got to remember that as soon as we were born again, we were born into a spiritual war. Whether you like it or not, there is a battle going on. But you've got to remember that the battle is the Lord's. You've got to remember that your warrior God, who is called a man of war, is fighting on your behalf. I feel the anointing of God in this place this morning. I feel like I could just prophesy and preach. I'm going between one and the other all morning. Forget about the notes. I want the word of the Lord to just flow and flow and flow. There is a man of war standing behind you. There are angels encircling you right now. You have the forces of heaven standing on your side. And there is a battle going on. And I want you to remember this morning and remind you of your battle is not against circumstances. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against your family. Your battle is not against your employer or those people that you might have conflict with at work. That is not the battle. That might be the fruit. That might be what you see, but you've got to go to the root. And the root of the problem is what Paul mentioned in Ephesians 6, verse 12. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Church, this is our enemy. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. They come and they lie. They come and they condemn. They come and they deceive. They seek to limit you. They seek to confine you. And they like to make themselves out to be a giant. But they're not. Paul said very clearly, he gave a warning to the churches, and he said this, we are not unaware of his devices. We've got to be aware of the enemy. You see, the enemy knows you're a child of God. The enemy knows that you're saved. The enemy knows that you're going to heaven, that you're going to spend eternal bliss with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. He hates that. You're not in his kingdom. You're not under the rule and the dominion of the God of this age. You are in a different kingdom. You belong to Jesus. Amen. And when he tells you about your past, when he reminds you of all those things where you've fallen, you just go to the end of the book and you remind him where he's going.
That's right.
You take the word of the God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you will defeat him and cause him to run every time.
Yes.
Because the greater one lives within you. And you know, we see here, just like the Philistines attacked David and robbed David, so an enemy comes time and time again to steal from us. 2 Samuel 5 verse 18 said, the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rechem. Do you know the word Rechem there means giants? It's interesting that Philistines were in the valley of giants. Haven't you found in your life and in my life that there are always giants in the valley? You never find the giant when you're praising God amongst the people of God. You never find a giant when you're having your mountaintop experience. with the Lord. They never attack you when you're full of faith. And life is good. And everything's going well in life. They fight you in the valley. When you are low. When you are weary. When life does not make sense. When circumstances seem opposite to the word of God. But I'm here to tell you this morning that your God is the same on the mountaintop as he is in the valley. He is the God of the mountaintop. But he is also the God of the valley. He says, I am the Lord, I changeth not. And if you're in the valley this morning, you've got to remember that you're going through. God does not put the pause button on you when you're in that valley. David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're not staying in that valley. You can say if you're in that valley this morning, I'm only going through. Nothing's going to cause me to make my home, my permanent dwelling place in this valley. It is temporary. And the temporary has to always submit to the eternal word of God. It has an expiry date. It might be there on your life right now, but the expiry date is going to come to an end and you're going to go into a brand new place in God. Because God is a breakthrough God. See, the enemy tries to make himself out bigger than what he is. He likes to make himself out to be a giant. But you know, David, when he was faced before Goliath, didn't see the giant. He looked at his God. He didn't look how great the giant seemed, but he looked at the greatness of his God. He slay that giant because he didn't look at his strength. He looked at the strength of the God that he served. And what was true for David is true for us. Because the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than any giant you're facing in your life right now. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I remember when I was in school, probably the same kind of age as people that go to, kids that go to this school, probably about 11 or 12. I just started going to the school and this young lad came up to me and he said, Edwards, I'm going to make your life a misery all the time that you're in this school. I don't know why, but he just didn't like me. Can you believe that? I had hair back then. Can you believe that, Sarah? He didn't like me. Incredible, isn't it? He said, I'm going to make your life a misery. He said, I don't like you. I don't know about you. Let me just say this, kids. God hates bullies. We don't like bullies, do we? Picking on people. Calling them names. You need some placards on the side, Anna. He kept on taunting me. He kept on calling me a failure. Kept on saying I was no good. He got a gang of kids with him and they just pushed me around. And I remember coming out of the school one day and I was going to get my bike. And I went to get my bike and he came up with a gang of kids. And I mean, he was in my face. And I thought, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And I'm not going to tell you what I did. Because that would be politically incorrect. But let me just tell you this. I dealt with that bully. And when he got up off the floor, he turned around to me, shook my hands. He said, Edwards, I'm never going to pick on you again. But you see, I'd reached the point when I said, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow this to happen to me anymore. I'm not going to be pushed around by this bully. I'm not going to allow this young man that seems like a giant to rule and control my life anymore, because when I dealt with him, he was not a giant. When I dealt with him, he backed off. He asked for an apology. He didn't want to come near me anymore. And for some of you in the spirit realm right now, you need to say within your spirit and confess through your mouth, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow the enemy to push me around anymore. I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal from me anymore. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight of faith? It is a good fight of faith because we win. Doesn't matter how big your difficulty might seem, God is bigger. So often we will magnify the problem. So often we will magnify the issues. So often we will magnify the events that are going on in our life or in our family. But David said this, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. That word magnify there means make God bigger. Well, I'm sick in my body. Make God bigger. Well, there's lack in my life. Make God bigger. Well, I'm not seeing anybody saved. Make God bigger. It is a season of breakthrough. Where God's going to cause a return that's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I remember when I was pastoring a church many, many years ago. Many years ago. That shows how old I am. 39. That'd be great, actually. 57, actually. But there was a couple in the church that had been trying for many, many years to have kids. And they'd struggled and they'd gone through a number of different issues in their life. And she unfortunately had a number of miscarriages, but they always stayed thankful to God for his goodness on their lives. They never blamed God. Let me say this, the answer to your problem is not blaming God. God is a good God. He will never cause bad things to happen in your life. James 1 is very clear that every good gift comes from the Father of life. He only gives good gifts. There is an enemy in this earth that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Never blame God for what goes on in life. I remember one day visiting them and they were crying, which was understandable. They were finding it tough, which is understandable. And I remember leaving them and we prayed together, and I left that day and I was about a mile down the road in the car and the Holy Spirit said, turn around, go back to their house, tell them to get that nursery ready. I thought, is that the Lord? That's a strong word. They've gone through this trial. They've gone through this circumstance 4 or 5 times. But you know, when you hear God and you've got to go back. And I went back. We prayed together. They took hold of the word of the Lord. They started painting that nursery. They even knew which kid they were going to get, what it was going to be. It was going to be a little girl. They started painting that nursery. They started getting it ready. They exercised their faith. They put their faith into action because they'd heard the word of God. They weren't living in their past. They closed the door to the past. That's important. They closed the door to the past and God opened the door to the future. And within 4 years, they had a beautiful little girl. It was impossible, according to the doctors, that she could have a kid. But they had a beautiful girl. Then they had a beautiful son. Why? Because the word of the Lord declared it. The word of the Lord brought breakthrough. And whatever's going on in your life right now, God is watching over his word to perform it. Because he is a breakthrough God. Secondly, you and I are anointed to enforce Christ's victory. 2 Samuel 5 verse 17 says, David was anointed king. David wasn't just a king. There were many kings in the nations at that time, but there was something very different about David. He wasn't just a king, but he was also anointed by the Most High God. He was anointed with oil. He was set apart as a king to carry the authority of God on earth. He was given the right by Jehovah to rule. He was given the right not by an idol, not by the prophets of Baal, not by the other heathen nations. He was given divine authority by God, by Jehovah, to rule over the nation of Israel, to reign and have dominion over every enemy. And what was true for David is true for us as God's covenant people today. We don't just have authority. We have the anointing of God upon our lives that sets us apart from the crowd. We are anointed to carry kingdom authority into the earth so that we have dominion and power and authority to rule and reign in life. Revelation 1 verse 5 and 6 says this: to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. That's speaking about you. It's speaking about me. Romans 5 verse 17 says this: much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Has anybody received an abundance of grace?
Yes.
You have, because by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is the gift of God. Those who have received an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. What is righteousness? It is right standing with God. There is no guilt when you stand before God. There is no condemnation when you stand before God. Every sin has been washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you dare stand there guilty. You have right relationship with God. You can boldly come before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in your time of need. You are righteous. Wow, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that blows my mind. How am I ever going to work that out? You can't. You've just got to accept it and believe it. Who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am called to reign in life. That means you're not here to be walked over by an enemy. You're not here to allow him to steal whatever he wants to steal. You reign in life. You have authority. It's in your spiritual DNA. You're not chasing after authority. You have authority. You have spiritual authority. It was what was originally given to Adam in Genesis 1 verse 28, God gave him dominion. We know that that was lost through the fall, but we know that through Christ it has been recovered. And we live under a new covenant that's greater than an old covenant. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Just like everything is under Christ's feet, it's under our feet as the church of Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. We have kingdom authority to rule and reign in life. And we enforce Satan's defeat. We're called to victorious living, whatever is going on, whatever's happening. When those suddenlies come in that aren't from God, we take authority, we rule, and we reign. I've got two girls. When they were born, they weighed less than a bag of sugar. The doctor said there were no hope. The physician said they'll live for a certain amount of time and they will have this issue and that issue and the other issue. With one of them who was the youngest, they said, she ain't going to make it. Say your goodbyes. I didn't say my goodbyes. I took authority over that. I thank God for doctors, but the doctors can do only so much. I took authority over that, and I opened the Word of God, and I believe what God said about her, that she was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God had a hope and a future for her, and that she was pre-planned before the foundations of the earth. And I spoke life when the doctor spoke death, and she's alive today, and she's healthy, and she's doing well. Why? Because the Word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The book of Peter said, the flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You might be faced with challenges today. You might be attacked with fear or sickness. There might have been an enemy that's staring in your face for a long time. But I'm challenging you according to the word of God and say, take authority over that thing in Jesus' name. Stand on the word. Believe the word. Hold up the sword of the Spirit. Look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. All the armor is defensive apart from the word of God, which is a sword. Takes you forward. In your destiny, it slays every enemy. And I'm challenging you in love. I'm encouraging you this morning. Take up that word of God. Use the authority that you've been given, man of God. Use the authority you've been given, woman of God. Deal with that enemy. He might seem like a giant, but he is nothing compared to the word of God, compared to the finished work of Christ. We have dominion. Jesus has defeated Satan. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If he has all authority, he has all authority. And we enforce Satan's defeat through our stand of faith and through standing on the word of God. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, breakthrough comes as we seek his face and hear his word. Verse 18 of this chapter, the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rechem. Verse 19 is interesting. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will surely deliver them into your hand. Please note that when David was faced with an enemy, he didn't panic. He didn't go for counseling. He didn't try to achieve victory on his own, in his own strength. He turned to the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. And I found in my life, and I'm sure you found it in your life, that the start of your miracle is when you turn to God and you seek the face of God. Because this world is full of confusion. This world is full of chaos. But when we're in a season and when we're going through chaos, the answer is that we seek the Lord. Do not do things in your own strength. You will fail every time. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. I'm telling you, I have sought the Lord these last 3 months while I've been off work and gone through some issues myself. But I'm telling you something, as I sought the face of God, I came to a completely brand new level in my walk with God. It is new. It is fresh. It's like the color has just been put back into my life. Because firstly, it's not what we do, it's what we are. It's what we are in the secret place. It's what we are before the face of God. When you look at Jesus, when he called his disciples, when he called them, he didn't just send them out. He called them to be with him, abide with him, dwell with him. Every fruit comes out of our time that we spend with him. We have nothing unless we're in his presence. And we have to be a people of the presence of God, because you'll never hear his voice unless you're intimate with the Holy Ghost. You've got to know him. There are so many voices speaking into your life during the course of 1 week. The voice of your employer, the voice of your wife, the voice of your husband, the voice of life, the voice of the TV, the voice of the media. We probably need to turn a lot of that off. The voice of circumstances, the voice of issues. But there's one voice that you need to know clearer than any other voice that David heard. And that's the voice of God. David heard the voice of God and acted upon what God had said, and breakthrough came. I've found for me again and again and again some of the greatest breakthroughs that I've seen happen have happened when I've heard the voice of God. When I've got a supernatural download from the Spirit of God. When I've got intelligence that's come from the kingdom of God. When I've got wisdom and understanding that could only come from him. When I've got an idea that I would never know in my natural self. It's changed everything. One word from God will change your life forever. But there's a requirement. If we want breakthrough, there's a cost. We've got to get away from this whole notion of instant Christianity. I just say it and I get it. You've got to spend time in the secret place. You've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. You've got to hear what he's saying, because there's wisdom and understanding and strategies that the Spirit of God has for you. But you're going to get them as you spend time in his presence. Yep. We've got to know the presence of God. We've got to seek his face. Those who seek him will find him. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Give priority to the presence of God, particularly in this season. He's going to give you keys to unlock breakthrough. Strategies to unlock breakthrough. Words to unlock breakthrough. Wisdom that can only come from him. But you've got to be in that place where you practice the presence of God. You've got to find that secret place. That secret place for you might be in the car on the way to work. That secret place might be for you mums when the kids are asleep in the afternoon and you've got that half an hour. Turn the TV off. Put the phone down. Stop going on Google. Put it down, put the iPad down, and get in that place where you worship and you praise, and you pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, you'll hear. Yeah. As you draw near to him, so he will draw near to you. I remember many years ago, myself and Anna lived in the city of Bradford, which is in the north of England. And the house that we lived in was not the best house. I'd lost my job. I'd been in construction. It was 2008, 2009. You remember the banking crisis that happened here. You remember from there, there was a whole issue with homes and construction. I was working in the construction industry. Usually what happens in the US eventually hits the UK and Europe. That's why you're a blessed nation. Never forget that. Yeah. Never forget what God is doing in this nation. It touches the world. Yeah. And the crisis that happened in the banking industry and eventually the housing industry, people lost their homes, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I think it was the same here as it was in the UK. And I lost my job. We were in a house, we had to downsize. We couldn't afford to live in that house anymore. We downsized, we went to this part of the city that was not the best part of the city. And we had damp and we had mold. And we got rid of the damp and we got rid of the mold. And then we had a problem with mice. Do you know the symbol for mice in the Bible is it prophetically is a devourer? You know, there's a symbol. If you speak to some prophets, they will say that's what it means. It's like a devourer. And we couldn't get rid of those mice. And I kept on fighting things on a natural level. I wasn't seeking the Lord back then. I was trying to put out these fires that were going on in our lives. Spiritually, we deal with one issue, there'd be another issue. Do you know when life's like that? Usually things are like that because something is out of sync. I'm trying to bring natural solutions. I'd deal with one thing, another thing would come up. I'd deal with another thing, and another thing would come up. And Anna would say, John, it's unending. What's going on? And we were trying to get rid of these mice, one after the other, and then one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Anna woke up. She knows where I'm going with this. And she said, John, there's something at the bottom of the bed. And it wasn't the dog. She said, there's something running over the bottom of the bed. She said, you get out of bed and see what that is. And it was a mouse. And she got out of that bed. She kicked the dog out of the bed. She threw the duvet off the bed. She said, John, you need to get up and do something about this. She said, you need to seek the face of God. Stop trying to do things in the natural. Deal with it. Be the head of this house. She can kick when she wants to kick. So the following day, I was just before the Lord. I got in his presence. And I said, God, oh Lord, what am I going to do about this? Lord, I'm pleading with you right now. I am in despair. And I got on my knees. It was many years ago. I'm not like that now. I was crying and I was pleading and I was begging. I was saying, oh Lord, sovereign Lord, you have to do something. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, what are you doing? He said, why are you begging? Why are you pleading? Why are you in this poverty mindset? Why are you acting like a slave? You are not a slave. Get up off your knees and stand on your feet. You're a child of God. You're a son of the King. Don't act like a beggar. Don't act like a pauper. Praise me. Worship me and I will speak. And I started worshiping him. I started praising him. I started calling on the name of the Lord. And the Lord said to me, he said, okay, here's the answer. Turn to the middle of the book. And I turned to the middle of the Bible and I found this verse. In Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And that shifted everything for me. I didn't try to put out fires. I didn't try to deal with circumstances. I got into the secret place. I used my authority. I had confidence. I didn't come like a beggar. I didn't come like a pauper. I stood boldly before my Father and I commanded things to change. I called the Word of God into being and that was the change for me. That was the change for us. We got out of the rut. We got our business became prosperous. We got into a great house that was more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And things just changed because we found him. In the secret place. I want to encourage some of you right now, stop trying to put out fires. Stop trying to deal with things on a natural level. They won't change. Believe me. And if it does change, it will be seasonal. It will come back in another way. Get before the throne of grace. Get into that secret place. Hear the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. And breakthrough will come. In Jesus' name, because God has a responsibility, but so do you.
And so do I. Back then, I was a lazy Christian. I wanted God to do everything for me, and I didn't want to do anything for God. This relationship is two-way.
That's right.
Just like marriage is a two-way relationship, your relationship with God is two-way. He brings grace. You've got to come with faith. Mm-hmm. You obtain what's given by grace through faith. And the only way you grow in faith is being full of the Word and saturated in the Holy Ghost. That is your responsibility. You've got to pick up that Bible. If it's gathering dust, what's wrong with you? I say that nicely. I say it gracefully. If it's gathering dust, if it's on the shelf, or if it's on your iPhone or your iPad or your laptop and you're not doing anything, you've got to devour that Word. Look at the world that we're living in. There are so many voices outside this room that will contradict the Word of God and the nature of God. And you've got to know your Word. You've got to know your Bible. You've got to build your life on the rock. The storms are coming. Can you hear me? Can you see what's happening in the nations of the earth? The storms are coming. You can't allow yourself to build your life on the sand. The sand will cause you to sink. You've got to build your life. Hear the word of the Lord on the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You've got to build on that rock, because when the storms come and the issues come, you ain't going nowhere. Finally, the God of the breakthrough ensures you and I recover all. 2 Samuel 5, verse 21. There, the Philistines, which is a type of the enemy, left their images. And David and his men took them away. It wasn't just David. Hallelujah. All the warriors got the spoils as well. That means all the people, the wives, the children, the tribe got the spoils as well. They recovered all. Just like David collected the spoils from his victory. So there's a time for you to receive your spoils from victory. This is a season of recovery. This is a season of restoration. Breakthrough releases the promises of God for you and for me. We've got to say to the powers and the principalities, release that which belongs to me in Jesus' name. If it's a job, you command it to be released in Jesus' name. If it's health in your body, you command release in Jesus' name. You command that breakthrough to come, because the God of the breakthrough is moving in our midst. The God of the breakthrough is working in your life. This ain't just a word. This is what God intends for your life. This is God's will. This is God's desire for you and for me in this season. Restoration. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, when the thief steals, he's got to restore sevenfold. Now, I'm not saying it's going to come back sevenfold. I'm going to say there's a principle there. When the devil steals, God will always restore. He restores the years that the locusts have eaten. David said in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. He is a God of restoration. When there's devastation, God promises restoration. When there's annihilation, God promises restoration. God can restore everything. Whatever the forecast might look like in your world tonight, he plans hope. He plans prosperity. He plans a future for you and for me. He can restore anything. He is a God of restoration. Just like David took back the spoils, God wants his promises to be a reality in your life. the word of God and the promises of God and the nature of God isn't just to dangle a promise that's just there, that will forever will be a dream. It has to become a reality, because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's not a theory. That is a reality. That is a truth that God wants you to see in your life. Manifest. If you've had a promise for a son or a daughter, and you know that they're to come back to Christ, that's got to happen in Jesus' name. We've got to call that breakthrough in. If you're believing for a change of job and you know that season is here, we need to call that breakthrough in. If you've known long-term sickness, we've got to believe that there will be a reality of the healing power of God and the grace of God flowing through your life. We've got to call that in. Whatever it is, and there might be many things in this room this morning, I am declaring breakthrough in Jesus' name. I want to finish by just reading you a few verses from the Message Bible. It says this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 3 and through. It says this, God, your God will restore everything you lost. And this is under an old covenant. We're not under an old covenant. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. We should expect more. We really should. Because the children of Israel had the shadow. Through Christ, we have the substance. We live in the fullness of the blessing of God as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You might be a citizen of the United States of America, but firstly, you are a citizen of the kingdom. And all the blessings of the kingdom are to flow into your life so that you can be a blessing to others. How can you bless this world? How can you meet the needs that you see around you unless you experience a manifest blessing in your life? We've got to believe for that. God wants us to enjoy life to the full. He wants to meet your needs, but he also wants to give you your desires. I feel I'm saying that by the Spirit of God right now. Will God do that? Oh, yes, he will. If he's put that in your heart, and if that is the revealed will of God for your life, he will give you the desires of your heart. You just need to believe that. You need to claim that and say, God, I'm going to believe that right now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to hold on to that. You know, for many years, we wanted a motorhome, a little RV to travel around the UK to preach the gospel. And we thought about it, and we believed for that. And now we've got our little RV so that we can go and enjoy ourselves and get to the places that we need to go, rather than staying in hotels all the time, rather than emptying the suitcase and packing the suitcase and going from one to the other to the other. We have our little RV, hallelujah. It was the desires of our hearts. And that's another story. But we've got it. We're enjoying it. We're going to go down to Spain at the end of the year and have a great holiday in it. Why? Because God wants us to enjoy life. And he wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. And I believe that there's going to be a breakthrough in that for you. Even this year, I call it into being right now that there will be a manifestation of that which you're believing God for in Jesus' name. That you will get the plan in the secret place. Don't forget that secret place. That as you seek him, you will find him. And as you find him, you will see a manifestation of those blessings. In the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. God, your God, will restore everything you've lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there and bring you back to the land so that you can possess it. I like this bit here. He will give you a good life. He will make a new start. I love this bit here in the Message. It says, God, your God, will outdo himself in making things go well for you. That's my God. That's your God. Life might be tough, but God is always rewarding. We might go through valleys, we might go through trials, we might go through tribulations, but we rule and reign. We expect the goodness of life to come to us because we serve the God of heaven who loves us and wants to meet all our needs. God of the breakthrough. Breaking through. Breaking through in health. Breaking through in wealth. Breaking through in destiny. Breaking through in provision. Breaking through in new birth. Breaking through in new birth. Breaking through in the prodigals coming home in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now that you will take the lid, that you will take any ceiling, that you will smash any ceiling over us this day and make it the floor we walk on. I pray any ceiling, any limitation, anything that's stopping us, anything that's stopping growth in all areas, spiritual, physical, financial, in salvation, we pray, let the lid, let the ceiling be broke. Let it be smashed this day. In Jesus' name, break in, break through. The anointing breaks the yoke. We've read that, Lord, in Isaiah 10. It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. And we are calling on the God of breakthrough, the covenant God of breakthrough, to bring breakthrough to the state of Michigan, that there will be revival, that there will be restoration, that there will be a new breed of churches released and moving, Lord, through this state, that there will be the fires of God burning from the north to the south, from the east to the west, that everything that represents religion will be burnt up. Everything that represents carnality will be burnt up. Everything that is not the agenda of heaven will be burnt up, and the breakthrough God will move in this state. Amen. And move in the lives of the people in this room today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. I want to pray that a breakthrough anointing will come on you today. Breakthrough anointing on your finances. Breakthrough anointing on your health. Breakthrough anointing that will help you lead people to Christ. So that when we come next time, there's not enough room in this room for the people that come. We've got to see that. You see, before you see it physically, you see it spiritually. We've got to see this room full. We've got to see this room as too small. Too small. Too small. We declare it right now that this room is too small in the name of Jesus. We declare right now that there are people in this community that are ready to accept Christ as Savior. I thank you, Lord, for prodigals right now, Lord, that are going to make fresh decisions for Christ. I see Christians that just aren't going anywhere. They're like in a Dullum's cave. It's like they've got no direction. They've got no vision. They've got no purpose. And they are waiting for you. I pray for divine connections right now. I see people going out of this town, out of this region to go to church. And the Lord says, there's a church here. There's a church here. They're driving. They're striving to find a church. And the Lord says, I've got people to connect them with in this place. So, Father, we pray for divine connections right now. We pray for those, Lord, that just don't have a purpose. We pray for those, Lord, that have been touched by the power of God but just aren't going anywhere right now. They're like in quicksand. We pray, Lord, that your church will come and rescue them and pull them out of that quicksand and get them back into the house of God and get them planted in the house. There's plenty of room to be planted in this house. There's more room, and even when it's full, there's more room. There's more room. There's always room for the lost. There's always room for the backslider and the prodigal. We call them home to this house in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that the fires of God will just go through this area in the name of Jesus, that fires will start. I see like this as a furnace. Matt and Sarah, I see this as a furnace. I'm speaking this prophetically right now. But I see fires just being lit in different areas right now. Around this area, I see small groups, pockets of fires. Pockets of fires. And you can't control the fire. It's just starting to set a flame in different areas. And I call that into being right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that the fire of God, the fire and the momentum of the Holy Spirit will just spread out. that there would be pockets. I see pockets of people in different areas just being the fire of God. I pray that even some people that aren't related will just say, we need your help, that they'll call you in. In Jesus' name right now, we pray, Lord, for those that need help, those that are believers that might just be gathered in a house and they're just not going anywhere and they're just together. I pray, Lord, that you will bring your servants to them and to bring direction and vision and to help them build in the name of Jesus, that you would work in your church and bring breakthrough to it, that the fires would spread. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Give me a moment to get a breath. Is that okay? I always feel like I've been in a boxing ring for 12 rounds. Praise God. Can we move this back? We can just pray for people then. Thank you, Matt. Hallelujah. Now, I believe when hands are laid on you this morning, there will be an impartation for breakthrough. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. I believe that as hands are laid on you, these are just hands, but the Bible says that when hands are laid on, there is an impartation. If there's a word, there always has to be an impartation that comes from God. So I'm believing right now that as hands are laid on you, there will be a breaker's anointing, an anointing that breaks the yoke and removes any resistance, any wall, to release the manifestation of God. Because God is a breakthrough God.